pastor in a congregation, you often visit others, and you're like, oh, we could try that, or we could do this, and ooh, I don't like how that happened, you know what I mean? Maybe you do that, maybe you don't, but that's kind of what happens. So I'm visiting this other fellowship, and they were just a little bit more charismatic than we are. I won't go into that fully. But I thought to myself as I walked up and listening and hearing some of the things I was hearing and then experienced something I had never experienced before, aha, I've stumbled upon a new growth strategy. Because there was this cute blonde girl and she walked up to me because I was kind of first in the line and she kissed me. I'm not making that up. Now, she went on to kiss everybody in my family, but I was like, hey, maybe we're on to something here. And so I told the staff about this, and then Pastor Asher was like, no way we're doing that. Nobody's kissing my man at church. So growth strategy kiboshed. Greeters, we won't be training you in how to greet one another with the holy kiss, apparently. So anyways, that was one of my Hawaiian experiences, which was awesome. It was great to be away. I am super glad to be home. And I do have a couple announcements to bring up to your attention. This week, we are starting Alpha. I'm going to tell an Alpha story as I'm speaking, and I'm not forcing it. It's the perfect story to tell the story of the message, and so that's what it is. But Alpha is happening this week. It's a great place if you are new, brand new to faith, and you want to learn some of the basics of what the Christian faith is all about, it's a great place to do that. Or if you're searching, or if you have a friend who is brand new or who is searching, it's a great place to do that. And details are in the bulletin. It's at our place on Thursday, and we'd love to have you join us if that interests you. Now, the next thing that's on here, this got added on Friday afternoon, and I actually don't know anything about it, and so I'm being away, you know, I'm hoping someone can film, but it says men's breakfast with the women, February 8th. Does anyone know anything about that so I don't have to sound like I don't know what I'm talking about in the second service too? Okay, that's fine. Apparently there's a men's breakfast, but with the women on February 8th, and this is going to be wonderful. I have no idea what it means, but we are going to learn and figure that out, and someone in the second service will tell us all the details, and I'll tell all you all the details next week in the first service. So yeah, mark it down though. There you go. And last but not least, we are in the midst of putting together our directory. There's some boxes at the back, and you can add your name, enter for a gift card. Even if you have already been in our directory, but your information has not changed, we need you to just fill in a little card that says, tick, I'm still the same person, live at the same place, and get reached in the same way. Because of privacy laws, we just have to make sure you're okay with that information being included in our directory. So we want to make sure that you were aware of that. And I'm going to pray. I'm going to invite the ushers to come forward, and we're going to take our offering. Once we're done praying, as we're taking our offering, our kids are dismissed down to Power Kids. So come on up, ushers, and we'll pray. Those lyrics give us a pretty good picture right off the bat of where we're going to be heading in this new year. We're starting a new mini-series. It'll be 3 weeks, this first one. It's called One, and it's within a larger series that we're going to work our way through, and I'll explain that in just a moment. And the best way to introduce this series One is to tell you about a visit I had with one of you. I received a message from the one and the only Mr. Wayne Land. Woo, exactly. And the message went like this. I'm picking you up tomorrow at 11:45 for lunch. And so I responded, that would be lovely, except I have a meeting tomorrow at 11:45. How about the day after? Perfect. We had our appointment booked, right? And he picked me up just as we had planned. We went to the restaurant. They had set us down, and before our waters could even be poured, he leans in. And Brother Wayne, this will surprise a lot of you, I could tell by the giggles. Looks at me and says, you're my new pastor. And I want to know who you are and what you believe. So I got some questions for you. Now, pause on this for just a moment. I know some people love this personality profiling system that I'm going to share right now. Some people hate it. It doesn't matter. I'm not here to make a case for or against it. But something that Janelle and I have used to help us understand one another, and something I've used to help me understand the staff, is a personality profiling system called the Enneagram. And within the Enneagram, there's 9 personality profiles, and each one has strengths and weaknesses, and those weaknesses branch off, and some show how you handle things when you're hurting, and some how you handle things when you are healthy. Now, in the midst of these 9 personality profile type, there is an 8, and an 8 is known as a challenger. And an 8, when healthy, is intended to be a protector. All right, they are one who is secure enough in themselves to seek the security and the justice and the goodwill of others, okay? Now, the thing about 8s is 8s will at times be a little forceful. It's not because they want to hurt you, right? They really, really don't. Because when they're healthy, they seek the good and the justice and the well-being of others, right? It's because they want to get to the point. They have a goal in mind, and they want to get to the goal, okay? I'm an 8. And in that moment, when Brother Wayne looked across the table, said, "I hope that's all right," I knew I was with a fellow 8. And that introduction might intimidate some, but like it enlivened me. And so I leaned in and I said, "Brother, I'm new to this congregation and you're a member of it, and I want to get to know you and I want to get to know what you believe. So every question you ask me, I'm asking you right back." He started with the inspiration of Scripture. There was no segue. We went right to it. Then we got into the deity of Jesus. Then we got into healing. And then we eventually got into some brokenness and things. And by the end, there was tears in both of our eyes as we were processing on some of the hurts and struggles that we went through. Brother Wayne wasn't looking to hurt or to harm me by any means. He was just being who he was. But he was getting after the majors. He wanted to get to the majors. He wanted to know the nitty-gritty about the real things that matter for us in the Christian faith. And this is exactly what I want to do in this series that we're going to go through over the next number of weeks. And we'll push pause here and there for different things. But I want to take us through the foundational things about of who we are and what it means to be considering ourselves a Christian. We're going to do so by going through our statement of faith. Now here's the thing. This isn't just a transferring of information, if you will. I'll speak a little more on that in just a moment. There's a why behind this. You have already heard me speak many times of the significance of the Holy Spirit and our need for the Holy Spirit and how important it is for us to function and be moving and working in His power day by day, moment by moment, if you will. And as we consider this, for those of you who are like me and kind of grew up or have been discipled in a more conservative way of thinking or of seeing things, this can be a little scary when we talk about Holy Spirit, because we weren't taught how to do that properly, or we weren't given the proper discipling, if you will, on how to make Him a part of our journey and who we are. And so this series is to set us up to be more aware of who the Holy Spirit is, but to give us the foundational truths that will not change. Because the Holy Spirit wrote the book, right? I mean, He inspired this thing, right? He was a part of the process. And so as a result, as we move further into getting to know who Jesus is and hearing His voice and understanding that the Holy Spirit is active and a part of life, Jesus and the Holy Spirit, as they speak to us, will never, ever contradict this book. They will never, ever go against and ask us to abandon these big 11, if you will, that we're going to make our way through, because it's been given to us by God Himself. So as we move deeper and deeper into knowing Jesus and understanding Him and getting to know Him, as we move deeper and deeper into looking to hear His voice and to commune with Him day by day, Jesus is never going to say, as our good shepherd, "Hey, you know what? Perhaps you are you know, little g God, like I was a little g God, and you can get or come around and you know, perhaps become God like me. He's never going to say that kind of stuff because it contradicts the big 11. It goes against this. Jesus is never going to say, the Holy Spirit is never going to lead us to the place where we think or suggest, you know, maybe there's another book or maybe there's another chapter. No, he will never do that because it goes against what he's already established for us here. And so as we move deeper and deeper into looking at the Holy Spirit, of understanding Jesus is speaking to us, we never have to wonder about these foundational big 11 that we're going to get through. And today we're going to start with point one. And this is so important for us as we move into this. With all that said, as a pause, a number of weeks ago now, back in the fall, I spoke on the Holy Spirit. And I told you about a Holy Spirit encounter that we were going to be having. And I gave you dates in that first session. And then if you didn't make it back on the week after, you would have missed that the dates got changed. So I want to once again just say we are actually going to be having a Holy Spirit encounter in May. And it's going to be May 20th. I better check my notes. I don't want to get that part wrong. May 22nd to 24th, that's what I was going to say. And Doug and Terry are going to be leading this. And Doug and Terry have been leading the charge in our denomination in many ways. They have grown much in this process. And in my personal opinion, they are some of, if not the leading voice in Canada on helping us moving deeper into this place of breaking down roadblocks to the Holy Spirit, of hearing God's voice, of understanding that we need to be set free from different things in our lives, of lies that maybe we have come into agreement with. And so that's something that's coming up. And really what I'm doing is setting a foundation to get us to that place and then take us from that place. So that's where we're headed and why I'm heading there. Now, for me, personal point of interest here, I never want to be a pastor that simply transfers information. I mean, there's a point and a place for transferring information. It's valuable. It's important to transfer information. But I want to do so much more. I want it to be about life transformation. I do not want to just transfer information. I want what we talk about to be life transforming. And so here's where I'm personally at and why this has been so important for me. I have found that in my journey, the more I know God, the more I know of God, the more capable I am of loving God. And here's why this is important. I didn't make this statement up, you all did. And it comes out in like every single email that seems to go up from this place. We exist because we want to love God. We want to love others. We want to serve like Christ. And we want to reach the world. This comes out all the time. We see this phrase on all sorts of things that comes out. First thing that it says is we want to love God. And in my experience and in my opinion, the more we know God, the deeper we can love him. And the deeper we love God, the more naturally those other three follow. Loving God is that the beginning and the foundation of really being capable of loving others. Loving God is really at the beginning, at the foundation of being able to serve like Christ. Loving God is really the beginning and at the foundation of reaching our world. And so I'm not just wanting to transfer information right now. I'm wanting to take us into a place where we know God more. Because when we know God more, we can love God more. So that's my hope and that's my heart in this mini-series and amidst of an extended group of series, if you will. So one. Now, you might think I chose the phrase one because this is point one of the statement of faith that we hold to and what have you. And it's kind of a nice little segue, if you will. But there's a much bigger reason, and it goes like this. Point one of our statement of faith reads this way. It says, there is one. There it is. There is one God who is infinitely perfect, existing eternally in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, so what better place for us to get to know the one God than right at the beginning? So I'm going to go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And I can't even get into all of Genesis as much as I would love to today because I love Genesis and the accounts that are in these first few chapters. But we're going to get to the first big point. Genesis 1, chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible, you can use those pew Bibles. This is really easy to find. We're at the very beginning. You're on page 1. Not hard to find. One God. It's all meant to be. And I heard that this was the weekend the conference 1 was happening. It was like Twilight Zone for me. Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created. Those are five really simple English words, at least, but with all sorts of meaning and impact for us as we start the series one. In the beginning. Something interesting that I learned about the phrase in the beginning in its original language is in the beginning is telling us that this is the inauguration. It marks the inauguration of a people, of a place, of a purpose. And interestingly enough, at the same time, it also alludes to the reality that there is an end. Never considered that. Now, the end is point 11 of the big 11, so I'm going to save you that sermon today because I need way more studying time to get ready for that one. But nonetheless, in the beginning marks the inauguration of a people, of a place, of a purpose, but it also alludes to the end. And in the beginning was God. The one who exists eternally, who is perfect, in and of himself is, as we have already sang, right? Holy, holy, holy. In the beginning was God. Now, something that is really interesting, that is a means to kind of set up next week, is in our introduction series, I spoke of the I Am. And we talked about Yahweh being the name of God. We sung of it this morning. It was the word Jehovah, which is a Latin way of saying Yahweh. And so Yahweh is the personal name of God that God has given to himself. Put that in your memory bank. I'm going to come back to that next week. But here, the word we see is God for God is Elohim. In the beginning, Elohim. Now, here's some interesting things about the word Elohim. It's used upwards of 2,000 times in the Old Testament. And it's a word that is used to refer to God, but it wasn't just synonymous with the Hebrew or the Jewish God. And we have the Hebrew or the Jewish scriptures here in our Old Testament. It was a word that was used for multiple world views when it came to God. And so it's more of a general word for God. But in the Hebrew or the Jewish mindset, which is important for us because Genesis, as it was originally given to its original audience, was for the Hebrew people. They understood this word Elohim to mean this. Elohim was a reference to the mighty, strong, all-powerful God who is to be exalted above all else, who was their creator. Interestingly enough, the creator creates. In the beginning, God creates. This is actually a play on words in the Hebrew language because the phrase in the beginning and the word created, those are actually two words in Hebrew. It's not a phrase. It's a word and a word are strikingly similar. And it would show this similarity as you would read it in its original language. And the word created for us as used here is a reference to something being done that is new. The word created is a reference to something being done that is new. And as you track the word created throughout the Old Testament, it's most commonly or consistently used in reference to a new activity. So in the beginning, at the inauguration, God, Elohim, created, did a new thing. Put this in your back pocket. Because something about that phrase, God doing a new thing, strikes a chord in my soul that I want to bring us back to at the very end. And so I want you to just hold on to that thought. Now, Genesis continues for us. And it goes through this creation account and speaks to how God spoke and it was, and God spoke and it was. And finally, we get to verse 26, which is referred to as the sixth day. And God speaks and he brings about humanity. He brings about male and female, man and woman. And here we see God speaking and doing something special and unique. He says this. Verse 26, chapter 1. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. This is super important. The series is called One. The opening phrase of the statement of faith, there is one God. The original audience, the Jewish Hebrew original audience, we hold to what's called a monotheistic faith, the belief that there is one, that there is one God. And yet, in verse 26, notice the phrase or the word that's used. Let us make man in our image, in our likeness. This is crazy significant for us, because right here at the very beginning, we have this introduction to the reality that although there is one God, that God is present and active in, as we already sang, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, God in three persons, right? One God, three persons. Exactly how the text says it. Which is why when we get to passages in the New Testament, like John chapter 1, verse 3, where we, in reference to Jesus, we see that in the beginning was God, and Jesus was with him, and all things were created through Jesus. There's no contradiction, right? Or in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, same thing. In him, in reference to Jesus, all things were created. This is super important for us as followers of Jesus, as Christians, that we understand there is one God, three persons. In the next 2 weeks, I'm going to show you how we can see that in both the Old Testament and in the New Testament. But in order to just set pause, if you will, for a moment and make the point, I want to tell a story. I spent the last 15 years serving in my home church. It was the church I grew up in. And so I'm not uncommonly, like, I could mention names there and people would giggle, but I would know what those giggles mean because I grew up there and I spent my entire life with them. Do you know what I mean? And so I had, in this particular instance, someone get a hold of me and they wanted to chat through something that they were working through, and I had known them my whole life. I, in fact, grew up going to Sunday school and youth group and all those things with their kids. And so they reach out to me and they say, Ken, we would like to have a visit with you, or I would like to have a visit. I need to process something. I'm like, okay, let's do it. Let's get together. Let's process this. And I learned in this moment to never assume that my fellowship or my congregation just knew this stuff, even if they had been a part of it for their entire life. As I sat down with this gentleman, he let me know that him and his son were having a bit of a theological tussle, was the phrase that I believe he used. And if you knew him, you would giggle, and because him and his son both are kind of strong-willed, and it is what it is. And the tussle was over the person of Jesus. And he said this to me, Ken, I just can't get to the place where my son says that Jesus is God. I mean, I know he was born, and I think that was significant for us. And in his birth, as a human being, he was good. And he got to the place that because he was good, he became God, or became, small g is what he was really saying, God. And then he went on to say, in the same way, I feel like you and me, we can, you know, be born and get better and eventually become small G, God as well. I don't see how my son can tell me Jesus is God. I was like, well, this is kind of an important issue. And so, like, I leaned in and I gave him my best counters and my best points. And I gave him everything that I could give him, that at least so I thought in that moment. And I couldn't convince him. And I should have thought of this at this moment, all right? I should have thought of this, and I did not. I should have said, you know what? Alpha is starting in just a couple weeks. You should come. But I didn't. I don't know why I didn't think that. I just didn't think that. I think I was just flustered by the reality that I was sitting there with a gentleman who had gone to the same church as me for his entire life. And he didn't believe that Jesus was God. I just didn't get it. Like, how could someone go to the same church as me and not get this? I mean, we had some issues with Holy Spirit and all, but Jesus, we got that one, right? Anyways, much like here, I'd advertised Alpha in a bulletin, put it in there, said it's going to be at my place at this time, at this hour. Hope you can come. And the first week he showed up. Just from looking at a bulletin, he showed up. He came every single week. The third last week of Alpha actually happens on a weekend. It's a Saturday, and it's called the Holy Spirit Weekend. And it's this weekend that we kind of teach through and process who the Holy Spirit is and the significance of the Holy Spirit in our walk as believers. And I always do like a little bit of like segueing and introduction into videos and stuff. And I don't always have it scripted, but I try to kind of feel where the people are at as I'm having those little visits and what have you. And in this instance, I had never done this before in Alpha. My mind went to Genesis 1 and to Genesis 1:26. And so I'm reading these passages just like I did for you this morning. And we get to Genesis 1:26, and I read, and I already told you he's one of those like strong-willed kind of guys, right? And I said, God, let us, and I paused, make man in our, and I paused, image, in our likeness. And he stood up, and he's like, Jesus is God! And I'm like, yeah, keep going. I'm like, did you see that? Like, God created, and then it says, let us. And so obviously it was more than just God. It was God, and it had to be Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Like, Jesus is God. Jesus was present right here in Genesis chapter 1. Although he was born a man, he was present in Genesis chapter 1. And I was like, brother, you keep preaching, man. You finally got it. You finally got it. I looked him in the eye afterwards, one-on-one, and I said to him, you know, that was a life-altering, I said, that was an eternity-altering moment right there. Do you know that? I said, yep. And we just kind of paused, and I had chills in that moment. I just got him again, actually. But then he said something that stuck with me. I've never forgot. I think it's important for us this morning. He said this. But I don't think even when I was wrong, or said, even when I was wrong, I don't think that Jesus loved me any less. And I said, totally, man. You're completely right. I'm with you. Here's the thing. This account tells us and communicates this to me. That the Creator created, and thus we are cared for. The Creator, the one true living God, who is infinitely perfect, existing eternally in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, he created. And this tells me that we are cared for. Doesn't matter if in the past we've been right or wrong. Doesn't matter if in the past we've had our highs or we had our lows. Doesn't matter if in the past we've had our ups or we've had our downs, because we've all had all of those, haven't we? The Creator created, and we are cared for. He loves us. And in the midst of my many, many visits with a number of you, one of the things that I've learned about us here, Fort Alliance, there's been seasons where we've been right and seasons where we've got things wrong. There's been things where there's been highs. There's things where there's been lows. There's things where there's been ups. There's things where there's been down. And there's been everything in between. And in the midst of all of those seasons, Jesus didn't love you any less. The Creator created and you were cared for, and that's inclusive of us, his church. And as I was away on holidays, soaking in the aloha spirit, I listened to Chet's message, and I know he was speaking to us personally, that we are still chosen, that we are still called, that we are still qualified. But like, as I was listening to Chet, something hit me as the pastor of this fellowship that I really believed in that moment he was actually speaking to us. That regardless of the rights and the wrongs, the ups and the downs, the highs and the lows, this fellowship is still chosen, called, and qualified. And the Creator created and we are cared for. And he longs to unleash four lions for the sake of his kingdom. And I'm crazy excited to be ambassador of the one who cares for others as part of this fellowship. I believe that 2020 is going to be an awesome year for us as a whole. I'm super excited for it. Because regardless of any of the seasons of the past, Jesus loved us in the midst of them all. And now it's time to move into this new season where God does a new thing. Interestingly enough, for us personally, in the New Testament, it's spoken like this. The old is gone, the new has come. The Apostle Paul says it actually literally like this. In Jesus, you are a new creation. How about that? You're a new creation. When we come to Jesus, he does something and we're made new. On the flip side of all this, I know that there are probably some of us here who have gathered here this morning who are in a real dark spot. There are probably some of us here who are really hurting, who are really broken. And I want you to hear this. You personally have been created by the Creator, and therefore you are cared for. And he longs to bring you into a place where you are a new creation. So much so that God would stop at nothing to ensure we could have relationship with him. Which is why Jesus, who was present in Genesis 1, came. And over the course of his life, he gave us an example of what it means to know God, to love God, to function in the power of the Holy Spirit, if you will. But ultimately, he took upon all the sin of this world, took it upon himself and suffered and died and was buried, but then rose again that we could be forgiven and free. And if you're here this morning and you're in the midst of a dark place, you're in the midst of a battle that you have never been able to put your finger fully on what's going on, I'm telling you there's a battle in the heavenlies for you, and Jesus wants to do a new thing in you. He wants to ensure that you can experience what it means to be a new creation. And this happens through faith. We come to Jesus and we just say, I'm sorry. Jesus, will you forgive me? And Jesus, my life is yours. And this is the beginning of a journey with God where we grow to know him more, but ultimately to love him. Because we here exist to love God and hope that everything else will flow